Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMZ's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Doug Tooman. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in Kingston for more than 16 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. Doug Tooman, always popular here. The phones are always loaded. Thanks, and welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Great to be here on this hot summer day.
Hot indeed. And I want to talk to you about that. Phones are beginning to fill up, 1-800-348-2551. You can check in with your questions and comments online at wmc.org/voxpop, on Facebook at facebook.com/wmcradio. Tweet us at wamcvoxpop or email, and that's the way I would do it if I were you, email voxpop@wamc.org. And yes, they're beginning to come in, so I'll ask you two questions. Number one, as promised, my beloved Roselle stepped in poison ivy with her foot. And it quickly spread. Poison ivy is a natural enemy of the podiatric community, isn't it?
It's everybody's enemy, not just ours, but it's nasty. And sometimes it can be self-limiting, but so many people have had poison ivy know that it's all-consuming. It can spread very quickly from one area to the next, and sometimes you end up in the emergency room for some cortisone. Or a shot.
It can get really nasty, and it can, the oil that's on those oaks and poison ivy and the other stuff, that stuff can really be insidious. It can get on you and get on your sheets and transfer from one part of your body to another. And the foot is the natural place. You're stepping on it, right?
Oh, you know, we do see a lot. You know, we also see a lot on the arms and the hands because people are always reaching in and doing gardening and pruning.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're in there as well and not realize what they're touching, but all over the body. Yeah. And then, of course, it spreads to the trunk and it spreads, you know.
Oh, boy.
And it just is really painful.
Yeah, itchy. It is. Okay, now I want to ask you about heat. It's hot out there. So does heat increase the potential for fungal damage on your foot?
Absolutely. And it increases a lot of things, including our limit of patience and everything else. So, yeah, heat causes a lot of foot problems, and certainly inside of our shoes. That's why a lot of people can go with sandals, because that heat will attract more fungal elements.
But if you wear the sandals, you have the poison ivy.
We're damned if we do, right?
Right.
So, but also other things that happen in the summer. I mean, I saw patients this morning, and they're complaining about swelling in their ankles and just the aches and pains that come with just the heat and humidity. And
well, why do your ankles swell?
Because of sometimes the pressures, the barometric pressures, and then also with the varicose veins that people get, it just ends up that you get a lot more dependency and gravity doesn't work as well in hot weather. Everything's more weighing down on you. So a lot of people get swollen ankles and swollen feet, and I usually recommend take about 20 minutes in the middle of the day and just kick your feet up above your heart on a lazy boy-like chair or put some pillows under your legs. And
that helps?
It helps a lot. It helps a lot.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's go to the phones and 1-800-348-2551. Mr. Bob in Saratoga. Mr. Bob, you're on.
Yes, I have a question. A number of years ago, I've had a situation where I had a horse step on a foot and caused a defective ball joint, which has caused some pain periodically. And I also have gotten a hammer foot, hammer toe.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, what is there any thing I can do about them? Lately, they haven't been bothering me, and I've been wearing sandals, per what Dr. Chartok was saying.
So basically, is it the big toe joint? Is that what you're calling? Is that where the horse stepped on you?
Well, actually, I stepped right on the foot, so I mean, I have like a defective ball joint. If I walk a lot, it starts getting painful.
Okay.
Like a. Well, I used to be wearing deck shoes, and that was apparently the really worst shoe to wear.
Right, especially around horses.
It was causing spasm. Oh yeah, with a horse too. Yeah, right.
Right. So basically, you have a hammer toe and painful foot, and this is an effect, a result of an injury from years ago. Is that correct?
Yes.
This is not a recent
injury.
Okay. So, you know, you have a late effect of an injury, and you probably had some internal damage, Bob, from that horse. It's very common, you know, in horse country where I am in the Hudson Valley. Yeah. We get a lot of horse injuries where people are stepping on, getting their foot stepped on by the horse, and it hurts, and people break bones, and they end up with some arthritis, and that's probably what you have in there, a little bit of arthritis inside of your foot. Yeah. So I don't know if you ever got it x-rayed, Bob, you know, at all, when you got injured?
I can't remember. I did get a look to Northeast Orthopedics Group, and they recommend you could get an operation for the hammer toe.
Right.
That was caused by a karate injury, or taekwondo.
So the horse was doing karate?
I was going to say the old song goes, the horse slipped, he fell on a flea. Whoops, said the flea, there's a horsey on me.
Yeah, so, somebody blocked me, my foot with an elbow in taekwondo and broke the big toe completely.
Okay. So there's wonderful new procedures for hammer toes that have been around for a while, and they're great if you're finding out. Let me just go backwards, because Dr. Shartok always likes to know what a hammer toe is.
You may call me Alan. Yes.
Hammer toe is a toe that if you look at your foot, your second or third or fourth toe, and all of a sudden it starts to buckle up, so the knuckle sticks up. Ugh. That's what a hammer toe is, and they can be hereditary, or in your case, it can be a result of an injury. A broken toe often results in a hammer toe. It's interesting because people always say there's nothing you can do about a broken toe, but actually you want to make sure the toe heals straight so that it doesn't end up as a hammer toe or with arthritis in it. But there are some great new hammer toe corrections nowadays with some new materials and procedures that can straighten it out and get rid of the bump and get rid of the arthritis in there. So maybe worthwhile for you to look into, Bob, if you're having pain, which it sounds like you are.
Well, lately it's not been bothering me, but it's because I'm not walking as much as I used to. I'm, you know, pretty much retired, so I'm not really like walking on my feet all day.
Well, you should. I mean, you need to exercise.
20 minutes a day.
I should, too. You're right.
Yeah. And my recommendation as a political scientist would be to stay away from horses. Never go near a horse. You know, and don't do taekwondo.
So, arthritis and hammer toes. So if you're not doing much, you can live with it. If not, it's always fixable.
Is it tougher because it's a bigger bone now?
Not necessarily, no. Bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's not harder for us to fix something that's worse. A bigger bunion isn't necessarily harder than a smaller bunion or a bigger hammer toe.
Is it a stronger toe, or weaker?
We have all procedures. Whatever it is, it can be fixed. So,
okay.
No worries.
Great.
Bob, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much for your help. Right. Information, too.
Bye. Phones seem to be filling up. Let's go to Carolyn in Red Hook. Okay, Carolyn.
Oh, hi. That was quick.
Yeah, we try to move along.
Okay. I have a lump that's appeared on the inside of my left foot on the instep over the last couple days. And in the past, if I've gotten something like that, it's usually been a muscular strain.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it doesn't appear to be darkened, so it doesn't appear to be bruised. I don't remember doing anything. And it's not going away. And I wear sandals quite a bit. But I also wear sneakers with support, and it presses. It's in a spot where just a little bit of it is pressing when I walk, and I haven't been to see a doctor yet about it, and I was wondering your thoughts on it.
Well, Carolyn, you're in Red Hook, which is a great location.
Not far from us.
Yeah.
We see patients there as well. But question, I'm not getting the location of your lump. You said it's on the side of your foot, or is it on the top of the foot, the side, the inside, or the outside? Where is it again?
It's really on the edge of the instep. Part of it is on the side, and part of it is underneath.
So,
and it's about an inch long.
Just, I want to get the definition of your instep so I know where we're talking about. Are you saying the top of your foot or the bottom of your foot?
Bottom of my foot.
Okay. So that would be the bottom of your foot. So the lump on the bottom of the foot, there's many things it can be, and it's probably no big deal, but a common lump on the bottom of the foot is called a fibroma. Don't get nervous. It may or may not be that, but it's very benign. It's just a growth of soft tissue that comes on the arch ligament, and they can be something that can stick around.
It's painful.
Yeah, and they can be a little painful because it's on the bottom of the foot. So if you have a lump on the bottom of the foot that wasn't there before and it's painful, I certainly would recommend a quick visit to just either tell you what it is and then how to get rid of it and be done with it, or let it go on its own. But if it's a new lump that hurts, I would get it looked at.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I've only had it a couple of days and it showed up kind of quickly.
Yeah. If you know, you can make an appointment for next week or the week after. If it's gone, then it's gone. Then you can cancel your appointment.
Okay.
At least you get in queue, so to speak. So if it's still there and painful, you can get it taken care of.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome,
Carolyn.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Great to hear from you. Okay. We're going to take a short break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Walt and Judy and Rebecca and anybody else who calls. Here you go.
Support for WAMC comes from St. Francis Hospital and Health Centers, Poughkeepsie. Celebrating 100 years serving the healthcare needs of the community, including the Red Ell Cancer Care Center, emergency and trauma care, and advanced robotic surgery, sfhospital.org. Marriottown Plaza Suites, Albany Downtown. Offering studio, 1 and 2 bedroom suites with fully equipped kitchens. Amenities include indoor pool, breakfast, local transportation, Wi-Fi and parking. TPSAlbany.com for reservations. Anderson Center for Autism, Statsburg, New York. Supporting individuals and families addressing autism spectrum disorder. AndersonCenterForAutism.org. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. 518-580-8080. Medical Associates of the Hudson Valley, Kingston. Physicians providing health care and primary care, women's health, wound care, travel medicine, and more, in-office and hospital care, mahv.net.
We are back with our friend Dr. Doug Tooman, always a popular person when he comes here, because people have a lot of, you know, a lot of issues with their feet. No two ways about it.
10 toes, 26 bones in each foot. You know,
26 bones, and then a lot of people talk about... Roselle once took me to a film about a Chinese potentate who had all these women, you know, and each of them was in a separate room. And he would have somebody come in and work on their feet before he made his approach. Very, very erotic. let's go to Walt in Niskayuna. Okay, Walt in Niskayuna, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. A couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with... plantar fasciitis, namely a lot of heel pain, mm-hmm. and it's not something I would ever want to go through again, so I keep reading about ways to avoid it. But one of the things I've come across is that there are two different conditions. One is plantar fasciitis, and the other is plantar fasciosis. How do I distinguish those two, and what are the different treatments, please?
Well, we don't really distinguish them too much, and it's just a terminology. A fasciitis is an inflammation, and an osis means that the plantar fascia actually has thickened itself and scarred up a little bit. So we treat them both the same, and even when you get an MRI, they don't often distinguish the two. Basically, what you're dealing with, Walt, and you sound like you're over it. Am I correct? Like you don't have
yes,
a problem?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let me tell you my experience with this. There are a lot of people that have had plantar fasciitis that used to have it, and in the majority of cases, it doesn't come back. That doesn't mean it can't come back, but in the majority of cases, people have one really bad episode that needs treatment or a long time to get over in some cases, and once it's done, maybe it'll be on your other foot, but it's certainly good to take precautions. The simple precautions are just wear good shoes, you know, and wear good supports and massage your feet if you like, but stretch your feet, you know, do stretching of your leg muscles, and you know what? Don't worry. It's going to be okay.
That's very reassuring, and I switched to Crocs, and it helped enormously.
Yeah.
I thank you very much for your information.
Wait, before you go. Doug, what is plantar?
Plantar means the bottom. Plantar fasciitis is one of the most painful conditions in the feet. It's probably the most painful common conditions that we treat at our office, Hudson Valley Foot Associates. All day long, it's like an epidemic of heel pain.
Wow.
So basically, if you get out of bed in the morning and the bottom of your foot hurts by your heel, and it's maybe painful for a minute or two, and then if you sit in your car and get out again, or if it just hurts all day, chances are you have plantar fasciitis, which is an inflammation and a thickening of the arch ligament. It's the ligament. It's truly not a ligament, but it's the structure that attaches to the heel bone. So it gets very tight, and it can tear. It can get inflamed.
Whoa.
regardless, it is really painful.
And it doesn't come from eating peanuts, by any chance.
No, it doesn't. No. But we have lots of new and wonderful treatments for plantar fasciitis that have made it, in our office, basically for the large, large majority, a non-surgical treatment, where it used to be a surgical treatment. Yeah. Now it's treated conservatively with things like ESWT, which stands for shockwave therapy. We have things that are done with platelet-rich plasma injections. We use cryotherapy.
What's cryotherapy?
It's a freezing of the area.
Right.
So, but the shockwave is a great treatment for chronic areas. But the standard tried and true things, we use a lot of orthotics for plantar fasciitis and a lot of rest, cortisone injections, all that kind of stuff.
Well, thank you very much. Did you get the peanuts remark or not?
I got information.
Well, no, plantar peanuts.
Right.
Okay.
Got it.
Thanks,
Walt.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's go to Judy in Heath, Massachusetts. Hello, Judy. Welcome back.
I have a arthritis in my first metatarsal joint.
Yep.
And it's I have a bunion on my other foot, but this is actually the more painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that the only thing that could be done for this would be to fuse the bones.
Mm-hmm. And Judy, let me ask you a couple of questions. How old are you now? May I ask a woman?
You may ask.
That doesn't mean she's going to answer.
I'll be 63 at the end of the summer.
Okay. Are you wearing?
Athletic.
You're very athletic. What kind of athletic sports do you like to do?
Well, it's not that I do sports, but I do a lot of gardening and building rock walls and,
Okay. So
wood and stuff.
Let me just talk about the arthritis in the great toe joints and the long-term best procedure that we've done is a fusion. I'll tell you why. It's the best procedure, and I'll tell you why it's a good option for just about everybody, and certainly you sound like a someone that would be a good option for. First of all, it's one procedure, and you never have another problem. Your arthritis is gone. You can wear most shoes afterwards. You can hike. As a marathon runner myself, I've had people compete in marathons after fusion. I've had people send me postcards from hiking around the world after fusion. And it's not something everybody thinks it's not going to move. Well, there's plenty of motion available on the other joint by the big toe, behind that joint, at the ankle, and you will have relief of pain without reduction of activity in just about every single case. So don't be scared of a fusion. It's a good procedure. However, to answer your question, there are also implants available. Implants are good, but, like hip or knee implants, they might have a lifespan, and they don't really increase the motion. They just put a space between the two so that it doesn't hurt when the two bones rub against each other with the arthritis. So those are certainly used, and if somebody is anti-fusion or not a candidate for any reason, we can do implants as well. So they're both available, preferably fusion for most with bad arthritis because it's a wonderful cure and correction. Never have to worry about it again, and it works just about every time. So
what? I guess I'm not clear though because is the fusion, are the bones fused in a slightly with the toes slightly dorsiflexed or is it just straight?
Well, a good question. That also depends on a skilled surgeon. We also need to know what kind of activities and if somebody's going to go back into a heel. So all those are factors. So it's fused in different positions by different doctors.
Okay.
So, but it's a very good question and something to address with the surgeon. However, I do think, Judy, that it's a wonderful procedure. And with a skilled physician that gets a good fusion for you, you'll be really happy with that. For everything you do.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And let's go to Liam. Okay, Liam, you're on the air. Go, Liam.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So my daughter is 9 years old. A couple of months ago, showed what at first was considered an ingrown toenail on the big toe of her right foot.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the treatments for that, and nothing changed. Mm-hmm. It actually seemed to get worse, and then seemed to grow like a callus or a wart.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it was just recently determined that it's an exostosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if so surgery is apparently necessary. And I'm just trying to learn what I can learn about it and, what causes it, and is it a fairly typical surgery?
Well, how old is your daughter, Liam?
She's nine.
She's nine. Okay. So one of the things we worry about if there's something going on with the bone there, it's unusual to have just an exostosis in a nine-year-old.
Yeah.
So it may be something called an osteochondroma or just something that is a little bony growth that's not a true bone spur, which is an exostosis, but a little benign bony tumor sometimes.
Okay.
That's there. And that would need an X-ray and a confirmation and maybe even an MRI. But, you know, that's something you should definitely get a second opinion on to
right.
make sure it's you're dealing with what you're dealing with. And we see a lot of 9-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 12. Very rarely do we see the bony problem, but we do see them on occasion.
Right.
On
well,
that age.
I'm about to have the X-ray emailed to me, and apparently it is, you know, it's been confirmed that it is a bone growth
mm-hmm.
right on the
yeah.
Sort of the inside front of her big toe.
Yeah, and that's something
yeah.
that's, if it is that, it's easily removed. Not
uh-huh.
a big deal. She'll be perfectly fine.
Okay.
And it's, you can't say it's common because you can't see them all the time, but it's common enough where you know the results are going to be good and she'll be fine if she has to have that done.
Right.
So no worries. And just about, you know, 100 out of 100 are benign.
Okay.
So,
any,
yeah.
anything?
100 out of 100, that's pretty
it's
good.
Pretty good, so
yeah.
no worries, you know.
Yeah, well, that's comforting. Anything to say about what might cause it, or is there anything?
No, we don't really know. It could be a trauma, you know, that might have caused it.
Mm.
And again, I'm diagnosing over the telephone, which
right.
is always dangerous as well.
Right.
So, but just based on what you're telling me, that's probably what it is, osteochondroma. But nonetheless, make sure, you know, we're in the neighborhood. Come by and get an opinion if
Great.
You like.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Liam.
Right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Brian in Shelton, Massachusetts. Brian.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Doctor. And it's Shelburne Falls, Alan.
Well, I'm sorry. I just read what they put on the sheet. And I think Doctor will confirm that what's on that sheet says Shelton. Okay.
Yeah, you're always good at what you do, Alan.
Thank you.
Doctor, I have a Morton's neuroma uh-huh. on my right foot, and I went to a podiatrist, had the standard x-rays that they do in the office, and then prescribed an orthotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm piggybacking on your discussion about arthritis of the foot and with the innovations of treatments that have been done. I've been told by people that have had shots for this that they were effective for a while, but then they wore off. And I know every case is different, but I'm wondering if there are any innovations, because the orthotic works, I guess, some, but if I'm on my foot and I'm hiking after a while, you know, I start having the ball, like the ball
yeah, sure.
beneath my foot, as you well know.
Yep.
So if you help me with that in terms of your expertise.
Sure, Brian. Appreciate the call. First of all, let me just explain to everybody what a Morton's neuroma is. Neuroma is...
We're going to want to know who Morton
yeah.
was also.
Morton was the guy who made the salt.
That's what I thought you were going
to
say.
So, but it's a nerve issue in the ball of the foot. And, of course, we have nerves everywhere that extend from our back to our sciatic nerve and all the way down through the feet. And in the ball of the foot, of course, we're often walking forward and we're on our toes. And sometimes, just like anything else in the body that gets stressed, if you think about lifting weights, you get a bigger muscle. You eat too much food, you get a bigger stomach. If this nerve is a little bit exposed and we walk on it, it gets a little bit bigger. And ordinarily, it might look like a piece of thick dental floss, but when it becomes a Morton's neuroma, it often becomes scarred, thick, and looks like a little piece of gum that's been chewed a little bit. And they become painful at times. Now, we don't know what stage they're in, so sometimes, you know, it's in, like you said, Brian, every case is different. So the people who injections work for temporarily, it's probably in a more advanced stage, and you get some temporary relief, but beyond the injections. People early stages might get permanent relief with the injection therapy. So, and it's hard to know. Sometimes an MRI can show it, but it's not. There's no gold standard, so to speak, for neuroma. It's more of a clinical diagnosis. But as far as the treatments, you know, I'm always conservative with neuromas. I use orthotics. I use cortisone injections. We use something called 4% alcohol sclerosing injections if somebody doesn't want cortisone, which kind of deadens the nerve. And the newer innovations that we have for that, well, there's just different procedures. One that we'll use instead of taking the nerve out, we'll use, I briefly mentioned, cryotherapy. So we'll freeze it sometimes through, instead of like, Alan, we were talking about microsurgery, instead of having somebody's hands in there, we'll just stick a little probe in and freeze the nerve. And, you know, we get 7 out of 10 of them better that way, Brian. You know, so that's pretty good option for some. And then as always, it's, you know, when something works, and neuroma surgery, if it's really necessary, it does work, a neurectomy. So taking out that nerve, it's a sensory nerve. It's not a motor nerve, which means it has no control over motion or walking. It'll just, you know, make the area not painful anymore. So the standard tried and true neuroma surgery works. Cryotherapy can work, orthotics, injections. And that's about the gamut. Nothing overly new other than the cryotherapy for that.
That's pretty thorough. And Alan, I'll assume at the end of the show you'll be giving the doctor's website.
Why don't you do it right now? We'll do it right now. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, our website, Brian, it's hvfa.com. That stands for Hudson Valley Foot Associates. And we have offices all over the Hudson Valley, as far north as Hudson and way down south as well. Main office in Kingston.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Doctor. It's very thorough, and Alan, great job as usual.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Susan in Schenectady. Susan, you're on.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering if a podiatrist ever helps to evaluate a problem that my sister is having. She's in her 60s, and from time to time she gets a cramp from her ankle up, kind of up her shin area. I'm not sure if it's the interior or the inside or the outside at this point. And I was suggesting to her that it could be, since, you know, PT and, you know, various doctors have not been able to help her, I was wondering if a podiatrist could possibly help to evaluate something like that.
What we can do is rule in and rule out certain things. For example, when you get cramps in your legs or if you get lower back pain, sometimes it's related to the foot. You know, everything's connected. The foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. So if somebody has a flat foot that rolls inwards, they may get aches and pains that go up the leg, and it might result in muscle spasms or cramps. So if the foot is, you know, determined to be normal, then the cramps may not be coming from the foot. But if the foot is determined to have mechanical issues, then there may be orthotics or special inserts that might help. Exercise that we might recommend, it may be, you know, the proverbial shin splint, but it may not be. It's certainly worth a look if you've gone other avenues to a good podiatrist that understands the mechanics and works with orthotics to see if that'll be of help.
And that would be like, are there specialties within podiatry or any podiatrist, you think?
Well, I always look for one that's board certified first and foremost because they usually have better training and are able to do better diagnostics. So certainly just a board certified by the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. One free phone open now. Chris from Clifton Park. Chris.
Good afternoon, Chuck.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm having problems with the, what appears to, I think it's an ingrown toenail, but I don't observe anything ingrown on the top inner part of each big toe, the inside. Seems to be slightly swollen and purple, very, very tender, even laying down to go to sleep at night where my foot, I commonly sleep on my side. And the toe, even if it's resting on the mattress, it'll wake me up in the middle of the night. I really can't explain it, but the pain sometimes, I have to go to wearing flip-flops, and I'm wearing a slightly larger shoe thinking that might be the culprit. But as I poke around a little bit, I don't see any pus or anything like that. Sorry for being a little bit too graphic with that, but I'm wondering, any idea with that at all, sir?
Yeah, I'll bet you a donut you got a couple of ingrowing toenails. Whenever somebody comes in, you don't have to have pus to have an ingrowing toenail. But if it hurts at night in bed when the bed sheets hit it, and what you're describing is pretty much an embedded nail, it's sometimes you just can't see where it's embedded and it gets inflamed and a little purple. So if you get yourself to a good podiatrist and he gets those ingrowing toenails out of there, you're going to have
How
a lot of relief.
How do they do that?
Well, it's very simple. It's actually one of the people, after I fix their ingrowing toenails, they say, why did I ever wait? Because most people, I call them bathroom surgeons. They work on them at home every month and over, they keep growing in. Really simple. First, we numb the toe, really easy to do. We got some special medicine to numb the toe with. And then you take a little sliver. It doesn't have to be much. It could be an eighth of an inch from the front to the back. And you just take everything that you see, but most of it is what you don't see that you're removing from the naked eye. It's embedded under the skin.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you do, which is really important, is you cauterize the root. Just like a hair has a follicle, a nail has something called a matrix. And you put a little medicine in there, and it narrows it permanently. But once it grows back, you'll never know that your nail's narrower because most of the stuff that was gone was under where you couldn't see it anyway.
So what is it? It's an ingrown toenail gets into you. I think I've had them. It grows. You don't take care of your feet, and sometimes they grow into the side.
Well, it can be heredity, and it could be from injury, and even if you take care of your feet, you can get ingrown toenails. A lot of nails just aren't flat, and they start to grow a little bit curved on the side, and it's just very natural. It's very common, and they're easy to fix.
Okay. Hey, Chris, are you done?
I'm all set, gentlemen. I so appreciate your time, and be well.
Thanks, Chris.
Take
you
care.
Too. Okay. Let's go to...
Interesting calls today.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, it's all different.
Let's go to... let's take a break, and then we'll be back for Deborah and Elaine and Steve and Percy and whoever else calls on that fifth line.
Support for WAMC comes from American Meditation Institute, Avery Park, New York. Offering meditation classes for beginners working to reduce stress and enhance their health, AmericanMeditation.org. Express Pediatrics Highland, walk-in urgent care for children, specializing in summer trauma care, including fractures, rashes, wounds, asthma, sports injuries, and more. ExpressPediatrics.com. New York Electric Motor Service, Glens Falls, New York. Specializing in electrical and mechanical apparatus sales and service, a subsidiary of Applied Dynamics, New York Electric Motor Service.com. Middletown Medical, with walk-in urgent care centers in Middletown and Ellenville for the treatment of injuries and illness, minimal wait times, evening and weekend hours, MiddletownMedical.com for insurance providers. Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors, and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890, with 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont, CurtisLumber.com.
Well, we're back, and his next to last day here, we're crying in our beer. Patrick Donjus is leaving for Florida, and we feel so badly about it. You sure you won't change your mind?
No one told me there was beer. Yeah. You guys have beer in here?
Okay, so what you need to do is, but he's in charge of the social media, and you have some things.
Yes, speaking of that, Julie on Facebook asks, did anyone ask about gout yet? Right now I'm suffering from an extremely painful relapse. My guess is I should avoid most processed meats, but what actually causes this terrible pain? And once you have an attack, is there anything helpful other than diet to speed recovery? And then as a follow-up, does the incidence of gout increase as we age, and if so, why?
Mad King George had gout, George III.
Well, he used to call it the rich man's disease, right? Well, gout, great question. And just a couple of quick pointers for her. Julie?
Julie.
For Julie, gout, what's causing gout is everybody has a lot of things that circulate in our blood. One of the things that's in our blood is something called uric acid, U-R-I-C. And uric acid, when it gets too high in the blood, it doesn't want the blood to stay. Blood doesn't want to stay that high, so it leaks it out, and it ends up populating often in the great toe joints or in other joints.
But I know, for example, asparagus is bad, right?
And no.
No, asparagus isn't bad.
It makes you pee smell, but other than that, it's not. It's
very healthy. And shrimp? No?
Well, people say that the foods make a difference, but some foods will make a difference. Certainly alcohol makes a difference. We know that, fatty foods and anchovies, and it's really easy to get a list of foods, but it's not always the foods that cause it. It's other things as well. Some people are just overproducers of uric acid. They just produce too much. Some people it's exacerbated by alcohol or dietary things, and some people it's kidney related. In most cases, not a big deal, but it's very painful.
And so, how do you deal with it?
Well, very easily in our office. Now, there's different ways to treat gout, and of course, what makes it hurt so much is those little uric acid crystals get into the joint, and they really hurt like heck. So what we do is when we have our patients who have gout, we tell them to call up as an emergency. We get them in, and usually we'll give them a quick injection right around it, and it goes away within a day.
What do you inject it with?
We inject with an anti-inflammatory, like cortisone, a corticosteroid. Mm-hmm. Oh. So we'll inject it, and it's real easy to do that. You numb it up, put a little medicine
in. I don't
think
they had that in Mad King George's day.
No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. And people who often take the medicine, it might take a week to go down. The typical one is Indocin or an anti-inflammatory. And then there's long-term medicines that your primary care physician may put you on to lower your uric acid levels if they're chronically high and you get multiple attacks. That's taking a pill every day, and certainly that may be necessary. But the quick way to do it is to find somebody who's willing to give you, if it's, of course, not every week, but on an occasional basis, an emergency treatment, squeeze you in and get it to go away really quickly because it is really painful.
Squeeze it in and squeeze it out. Deborah, do you have anything else on this?
We're all set here.
No, that's
Julie. You're on me.
Julie.
It's all good. We're all set, Alan. Yeah, thanks, Doc.
Thank you very much.
Good luck in your new career.
Thanks a lot. Don't drive too much. Okay, we're going to go to Deborah now. Deborah, you're on.
Oh, hi. My name is Deborah. Thank you very much for taking
your
call.
Tell me your name. Say it again.
Deborah.
Deborah. Okay, very good.
Wow.
So thank you very much. I've been to an orthopedist who claims that I have
posterior tibial tendon dysfunction.
Dysfunction, yeah.
Yes.
And I'm
That's
curious.
That's a long name.
Yeah. And you only spend like 2 minutes with the orthopedist, so I didn't quite any scissors inflammation on
well,
my
I
left.
I need that gig.
What?
I need that gig. Only 2 minutes with your patients.
Oh yeah.
Sort of, kind of. So I've been looking at a lot of stuff, but I'm trying to figure out how you determine whether the inflammation is really from that or from something else. And before they go cut and put in all those screws, I just wondered. Shouldn't you have an MRI to determine that?
Absolutely. Deborah, I'm going to ask you a question. How long have you had this condition?
Well, I've been on several versions of orthotics for a while,
uh-huh.
And I wonder if the orthotics maybe caused the... But the pain on the left ankle is recent.
Right.
And I do pronate terribly on one side, and I'm a dancer, so, you know,
right.
I know...
How old are you, Deborah?
I'm 56 now.
Ah,
so.
Good age. Me too.
But I'm kind of scared about surgery.
Okay.
Wonder what else to do.
Well, first of all, you have to have an MRI before you have surgery because one needs to know is the posterior tibial. By the way, let me just go back what that is.
Sure.
It's a very debilitating condition where one of the most important tendons in the foot, they're all important, but this one is very important, which holds the arch up. It becomes weakened, and sometimes it partially ruptures and sometimes completely ruptures, and sometimes it just stops functioning. So we call it PTD, which is posterior tibial dysfunction. And it's a tendon issue, and you need to know, any surgeon would want to know, is the tendon partially torn? Is it ruptured? Where is it ruptured? You know, and what do we need to do? Because it's not just repairing the tendon. You sound like you have a very flat, collapsed foot.
Yes.
And often what we will do is we will address that at the time of surgery as well as fixing the tendon. And we do some very significant procedures to make sure that it's, number one, healed, but number two, it doesn't come back. If you just fix a weak tendon, you know, without fixing the underlying biomechanical causes. And by the way, your orthotics are important with this because they will limit some of the pronation. But you really need to know.
Pronation is when your toes point inward, right?
You roll inwards, your ankle and foot roll into the inside. But it's we would never do a surgery without having an MRI on that tendon and getting the status of it. And also evaluating your entire foot, which takes a while to determine the right procedure and procedures. For you, Deborah. So it's really important.
So two orthopedists said I have phase two of that dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be trying other things before surgery, or if I don't do it right away, will I not have the chance to have surgery? Should I need it later?
No, you can always have surgery later. Again, you know, you're not a stage four. But how do you know? The question is based on what they see, but nobody's done an MRI, so
right.
That's something I would not wait for, in my opinion. Also,
so they can't even really make a surgical appointment until they have the MRI, in your opinion. So Friday would be too soon for surgery, it sounds like.
I won't comment on that, but what I will say is that there are things to do, and not all the conservative procedures work for PTD, but certainly aggressive physical therapy, immobilization, splints, walking casts, you know, all those kinds of things are done commonly.
And can alignment, like chiropractic alignment or, you know.
Chiropractic is great. It's not going to help you with PTD.
This
is a tendon issue that needs to be addressed and rehabilitated, and maybe surgically, maybe conservatively. I can't tell you.
Well, they can't tell if it's torn unless they see the MRI, so it may not even be torn. They just say they need to do it for this all-American procedure.
I'm not familiar with what their all-American procedure is. Everybody has different names that they use. So
we got to let you go. Like there are a lot of people behind
you. Thank you very much.
That sounds like a lunch special.
Much.
Appreciate your call. Yeah.
Okay,
let's go to Elaine in Hague. Okay, Elaine, you're there, and we're
Hi.
Here.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I have toes, particularly on my right foot, but my left foot too, that feel sort of numb
mm-hmm.
and tingly, almost
mm-hmm.
like they're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 64,
mm-hmm.
and I run. I'm wondering if, you know, I'm losing fat or whatever
mm-hmm.
in that on the ball of my feet that's causing this, or is it something else that I should be concerned with?
Well, it's a good question, Elaine, from The Hague. This is a challenge that most likely goes back to a call we had earlier, probably from Bob, about neuromas.
Okay.
You may have an irritated nerve, maybe not the kind that raises all the way to the level of pain, but
mm-hmm.
maybe to the level of long-term running may have bother the nerves. I love running. I'm a runner myself, so
yeah.
We want you to keep running if you can. It's very healthy, although people would argue that.
People with diabetes get
but not on one foot necessarily. Usually it's bilateral and symmetrical. But a back issue can cause numbness
sure.
in two toes, so that's something else one would need to look at. So the question is, where is it coming from, Elaine? Hard to diagnose over the phone. It could be from your back. It could be from your foot. It could be from your ankle. But, it's probably not anything to do with age, except more times things happen as we are around longer.
Mm-hmm. So in the Shakespearean sense, get thee to a podiatrist.
Potentially. And also, just make sure when you run, you maybe skip the first lace, the one closest to your toes.
Ooh.
Okay.
So that is less tight up there.
Okay.
And see if that makes it a little less numb. And maybe don't lace so tightly and see if that helps a little
bit. Would, you know, some sort of cushioning, inner sole?
Yeah, that's why if you come and see someone, an orthotic maybe,
okay.
right? Or maybe just a cushioned insert to give you more padding. One of the two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine, thanks for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Steve in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. Steve,
hello?
You're on.
Hello, hello. Hello, all.
How you doing?
Hi.
Good. I may be related to the previous caller. I'm 69 years old, and for the last several years, I've gotten this tingling in my fingers and toes, and no pain from it. Just one little spot on the middle toe of one foot that goes away and doesn't bother me too much. I understood this to be a sort of a neuropathic problem, and the thing that happened that got me to call was that over the weekend I spent some considerable time working on a ladder, standing
mm-hmm.
on it, reaching,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting a lot of stress
mm-hmm.
on it. And the next day I had on the ball of that foot what felt like a big, painful knot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if this knot, this feeling, is a neuro issue. And if it could be related to this tingling or how this works.
Yeah, you know, again, Steve, and you're from Wayne County, which is a great place. My son went to camp there for many years.
Yeah.
And beautiful country. It ladder thing will always trigger, and say always, and often triggers a neuroma to flare. So neuroma would be, again, an irritated nerve in the ball of the foot. And when you're standing on a ladder in one position, reaching up, that's where you're putting all the pressure. So if you have that tendency, it will make it hurt. And chances are if you stay off the ladder for a little bit, it'll go back to the way it was. If the way it was is tolerable, you can probably live with it. The only thing that challenged me a little bit is that your fingers and your toes. And I don't know why your fingers would go numb, and that may be something you just want to get checked out by your primary care physician just to see, make sure there's nothing else going on that might cause these things. But as far as your foot goes, it sounds like a standard pressure-related nerve issue,
mm-hmm.
like the other callers with neuroma.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's best I can tell you without seeing you, Steve.
Uh-huh. And who would I see about this issue?
Well, if you want to find out just in general about your hands and your feet, maybe a neurologist is always good because they deal with nerves, but your primary care physician may be the one to see first.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, if you just want to look at your foot, that would be a podiatrist.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Maria in Ballston Lake. Maria.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
We can.
Oh, that's good. I'm trying to understand my feet better. I have high arches. I guess they're partially collapsed. I need arch supports. And a couple times I've been given kind of the arch supports they thought I needed, and they were too aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like just on one of my feet, it when they're too aggressive, the one foot feels like it pronates worse. Like when I'm walking, it like rolls in so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then that one has starts getting pain in the mm-hmm. arch, and kind of I treat it like plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal? It's just actually the one foot that does that.
Yeah. Well, it is challenging for you. You know, when there's different kinds of feet, no two are the same, of course, but the three general categories are flat feet, normal arch feet, and high arch feet. And the one that's the most hard, most difficult to treat, Maria, are high arches. So if you truly have high arches, those are the ones that are really hard for patients and people to have on a daily basis. They get lots of different problems. They're not good shock absorbers. And when you're fitted for arch support, sometimes you're not used to the feeling of the support in the arch, because usually it's like a cave. There's nothing underneath it.
So is a high arch the absolute opposite of a flat feet?
It is. Uh-huh. And the worst high arch, different kinds of high arches, the ones that are rigid. So that's just they have that high arch and they stay high even when you put weight on the foot.
Do people get them from 9-inch heels?
No, they actually have trouble wearing high 9-inch heels. But it's
sometimes it's you see those high heels and you see the foot all...
I don't know how women wear those, you know. But
do you wear them, Maria?
I don't. I got one. I wore them one evening over a year ago to my husband's high school class reunion.
Wow.
My back felt better, but my feet felt terrible.
Right. So
I actually have a super flexible foot, though.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm probably better off than a lot of people.
You are, because that would be the better of the two high arches.
What does that mean, super flexible?
Well, it means that it doesn't stay high arched when she stands on it.
I see.
It flattens out.
I get it.
So the ligaments are looser. But it's still a challenging foot, and it is hard to get that perfect arch support. So keep trying, you know. Don't give up on it.
We saw a West Side Story the other night, Maria.
You get to have lots of
shows. And you were featured in it. Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it.
That was good.
Bye-bye.
That was quick.
Let's go to Percy in Kingston. Percy, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? I'm 58 years old, and I got a real bad problem. My left foot, it feels like it's on the end step on the...
Hey, right. Percy, we're having trouble hearing you. Are you talking right into the phone?
Okay, is this good?
Not great.
It's not by the highway.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead. Give it a shot.
Okay, so it's the ankle, right between the ankle bones. When I wake up in the morning, it's a sharp pain. It feels like it's broke. When I walk on it, and it pains really bad.
Is this a new problem, Percy, or one you had for a while?
Well, I had it for about 2 months now.
Okay. I would get that looked at. You may have a piece of bone fragment in the ankle. You may have some other things that need attention, but 2 months of pain and hurts really bad like that, I would get it looked at. There may be some arthritis in there. You know, you're of that age. You may have had an old injury that's kicking up here. So come on in and get it looked at. Let's get an x-ray, see what's going on.
Okay, thanks a lot. Not all through that. It's probably old army pain, but I'm going to come in and see you, though.
Okay, thanks, Percy. Okay.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
We'll see ya.
All right, let's go to Jeff in the Berkshires. Jeffrey, you're on.
Hi. I appreciate the time. I am 64.
Are you talking into the phone?
I am talking into the phone.
All right.
Is that better?
No.
Anyway, I'm 64, and last year in October, ruptured my Achilles playing racquetball.
I'm sorry.
Had it surgically repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And after 6 weeks off my foot and, you know, a period of time of lots of physical therapy, multiple places, I still have a lot of sensitivity in the foot. I still feel my heel and the ball of my foot is either feels numb or swollen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if, you know, an orthopedic surgeon operated on it and uh-huh. fixed it, but is that a podiatric issue or not over time?
Oh, over time, certainly. It's a mechanical issue now. You've had it repaired, but you're just not perfect yet. Achilles tendon ruptures retire a lot of athletes, and it's really hard to come back from. So, you know, it could take you a year, it could take you two. physical therapy, orthotics, you know, ongoing, you know, self-management of this. Stick with it. You know, this is a it's a tough one to overcome, Jeff. But if you stick with it and you get your therapy and you maybe come into a podiatrist now for mechanical treatment, hopefully, you know, over time you can really recover as close to 100% as possible.
Anything that would help the plantar fasciitis go along?
Without a doubt. I mean, I would certainly have you in an orthotic with a lift on it, take pressure off the Achilles, and also support the plantar fascia. So I'd be very big with orthotics for you. I put all my Achilles tendon, not only ruptures, but tendonitis patients in orthotics as well.
I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to let Jeff go because
we are
out of time. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Okay, so we are, as I just said, out of time. We apologize to no one because no one was left on the line. Dr. Doug Tooman, thanks again for joining us. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout Dudson Valley. Health-quest.org for locations. And thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Brandon Holmes for answering the phones today. It wasn't Brandon Holmes, I know that. 1-800-323, no, that's wrong. Thanks to Brandon Holmes, but he's not here. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Shartok. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. And remember that if you liked what you heard today, you're going to want to put something into the lockbox, because then when we come back, for the next fund drive, we won't even need a fund drive because you'll have put something into the lock or locked box. And just go to WAMC.org in order to do that. Okay? Thanks for listening now. Stay tuned now for a news update.